Welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us this last Tuesday of November as we're heading into, well, it's certainly the holiday season, certainly. The number to call after the top of the hour if you have a question or comment for our guest is 541-472-1270, and we'll let you air your question or comment live to our guest. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue, and as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. And say welcome once again to our guest today. Final Thursday of the month, and that means our Josephine County Commissioners are in studio this morning. All three are here. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Glad to have you with us. What's on your holiday agenda? What lies ahead for the Josephine County Commissioners now through the end of the year? Incidentally, this is the last time you get to be on KJO Radio in 2023.
Well, first of all, I hate to correct you, but it's Tuesday, not Thursday.
Did I say Thursday?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, you had to
do that. Don't push it. Time's going fast enough,
okay.
Please.
All right.
Okay. You know, things are always pretty quiet between Thanksgiving and the first of the year in government. People taking holiday time off and stuff, and it's hard to get things pushed through. Plus, we don't really have a lot of stuff going on. It's quiet, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Quiet, does that mean you guys don't have anything to do?
Well, I always,
you led me into that one.
Well, I always joke around in the office. I said, we don't have any money to argue over.
Ah.
So that's one thing. And like I said, coming up on the end of the year, there's just not a lot of things going on. We're going to be looking. I think we got a land use hearing next Monday. This week is pretty quiet. We've got a legal briefing this afternoon. There's a lot of things on the agenda, but no real meat and potatoes, just a lot of little stuff that we have to take care of. Tomorrow's weekly business session, we got some library annexations, and then we also we're having a new policy we've created over how when a county has to foreclose on property for lack of payment. So we've redid the policy of how we do that and what we do with the money and how that whole process works to modernize, because there's been some court cases that we've had to take note of. And this phone is going off. Let's see here. All right. Let me turn that off. Okay, that's a $5 fine.
Just put it in the kitty when you leave.
Yeah. Anyways, we're just making some adjustments, modernizing the policy to kind of get up to speed with the new laws concerning that. We're doing that. Then we also, there was a piece of property that we had to foreclose of lack of tax payments. And the individual has come forth now and wants to buy it back. And the only thing we're interested in is just the taxes that are owed. And so we've agreed to do that. And he's going to pay his taxes up and also have to pay some of our fees that we've incurred in this process. And that's about it. We got some meetings on our consent calendar, and that's about it. It's pretty boring.
All right, boring. But
boring is good.
Boring is good, and I'll give you that. Are there significant changes in the procedures there that preclude taking up this gentleman's tax delinquency sale?
No. So how it works is if an individual don't pay their taxes for 3 years. Then we start sending them some letters, and then it's another couple years, and then we finally foreclose, which is actually a legal procedure. And once we foreclose, then we turn around and we either keep the property or we can liquidate the property. If we liquidate the property, then what we do with the proceeds is now instead of just allocating the proceeds, we're going to take the proceeds and kind of put them in an escrow account to a while and see if people want to, maybe they decided that they want their property back, and it gives them another opportunity instead of just, you know, it gives them a way to get it back instead of just taking those proceeds and you know, allocating them to the parks or forestry or something like that. So they're going to go into an escrow account.
There's a lot of times when we foreclose on a property, it's a real mess. you know, it depends on who owned it and so on and so forth. So we have to go into solid waste, which is your taxpayer money, and clean those up. And there is some, there's some money invested in that. And so, like, Chairman's saying, that money has to come back out before we, you know, those fees have to be paid also.
All right. And I understand that. It's good that we're putting this back in the hands of the person who had that, and hopefully they'll keep their taxes current.
We really don't want to foreclose on properties. We're not in the property business.
You're not the real estate business.
No, we're not.
So you're not the vultures out there hovering over the land waiting for somebody to not pay.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, you know, Chuck, if you really think about it, we don't. We don't want to foreclose on anybody's property. And the process is so long. It's 5 years before we have to foreclose. They have 5 years to pay their taxes, you know, to get them caught up. And now, even after we do foreclose, there's even another opportunity for them to get caught up and get their property back. We do not want their property. We want them to just pay the taxes like everybody else.
Yeah, a lot of people think, oh, you're just going to foreclose and make money on me, and that's not the case. We just soon.
It's hard to make money that way.
It's taxes are. Everybody has to pay him. I'm not happy about it, but that's the way it is.
But before you deal with this gentleman in your business session tomorrow, you have a new policy coming on board for the disposition of tax foreclosed real property. How is this new policy? Is it different? Minor changes, new changes? Are there any details that you can share with us right off the top of your
Instead
head?
Instead of taking the money, so once we foreclose on a property, it goes to a sheriff's sale, it's sold. Instead of taking that money and appropriating it, that money is going to go into an escrow account.
Okay. All right, gentlemen, we mentioned earlier that
I don't know if escrow account's the right word, but it's going to go into account like
right,
an escrow
right,
account.
Right, right, yeah. It's just going to be set aside. It's not going to be dispersed. It's just set aside in its entirety, and that gives the opportunity. It goes, if somebody were to say, okay, I'm going to come pay it back off, and you say, no, we've already sold it. Mm-hmm. You know, that, I think it's just giving them another opportunity to say, you know, I want to get this straightened out and go. A lot of times, people don't even know they own the property. You know, they come back east or whatever, and they inherit it and have no clue. So, you know, we're going to get them adequate opportunity to make it right.
All right, gentlemen, once again, we mentioned that this is the last opportunity for you to appear on KJO Radio this year because the last Tuesday of the month, next month, is a very special talk show that we'll get into later. And we thank you for relinquishing your time and expanding your Christmas holiday on the 26th of December. However, in retrospect, looking back on 2023, major accomplishments this year? What has 2023 meant to Josephine County from last January to now? Herman?
Well, I think, you know, we've made a good effort to stabilize the share of funding. And I know a lot of people aren't real happy about that. It was a low voter turnout, and it didn't take a lot of votes to pass it. But I think in the long run, I think people will see how important it is because those federal funds have, most of them have diminished, and the rest of them are going to diminish. And so at least this gives us some stable funding. Is it the Cadillac model? Absolutely not. It is not the Cadillac model. So I think over time, I think people are going to come to an understanding that was a very significant thing that happened in 2023 is stabilizing the sheriff's office.
Right. Let's put a footnote in here. It is not official yet and won't be till I think next week sometime when the final certification is made, but likely it won't be overturned. There are 300 votes difference right now, and we expect the percentages will remain the same. Usually they do in a situation like that, but the final certification has not been made until next week by the county clerk.
That's correct.
Okay. In the meantime, any other highlights from 2023 you want to point out or accomplishments or even failures here?
Well, I think we all wish that the Flying Lark was sold and on its way. It is not. Unfortunately, the timing, the real estate market across the nation isn't the most wonderful in the world. So the timing wasn't good, but we are still pursuing that. It's I would say it's pretty close to the top of our agenda to do something with the Flying Lark and to get it up and going to somebody out there. Other than that, I would say I'm pretty satisfied what's going on in our departments, our department heads, and what they're doing and all the work that the employees of Josephine County are doing. I'm always a little mindful of what the budget's going to look like in the future, since we're so highly dependent on pass-through money, mostly from the federal government. So that's always, and we all know that the federal government's been on a little bit of a spending spree here the last couple of years. So that's a concern, how that's going to trickle down to us eventually. But all in all, I'm pretty happy about things in all Josephine County, yes.
All right. Let's see. Let's talk about some of the departments and any progress experienced in 2023. Start with the airport. Berman, that's yours. All right. We'll get the other guys on here soon.
So, yeah, the airport, Grants Pass Airport. What, you know, we're really blessed to have that airport out there. It's coming along. It's never going to be a Medford airport, okay? But it is going to be a really good private aviation. And there's some, there'll be some commercial aviation out there too. It's limited though. It's just because of the terrain. We have mountains. And so it's only going to be so much. But I have my airplane out there and my hangar. The atmosphere out there is great, except on foggy days, and the atmosphere is not too good. But most of the time, the people out there are wonderful. The communities out there are wonderful. It's a great little airport. We got a new airport director this year. Steve is doing a magnificent job, and he's got a couple people, just two people working for him, and they manage both the Grants Pass and the Illinois Valley airports. And that's a three people manage both those airports. So I'm, you know, I was just out there over the weekend. I was out there Saturday and Sunday, and, you know, it is a great little airport. It really is. So it's doing fine.
All right. Is it a revenue generator?
It's revenue for us as county commissioners. Mm-hmm. It's revenue neutral because we don't give it any general fund money. So mm-hmm. it runs on what it produces. And, It's in the black. It's not in the red. But I would say that there's probably not a lot of reserve out there.
Not a lot of extra right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in this economy, extra is just almost unheard of. All right. Let's move on through other county departments. Let's start with parks. Who has parks here? Raise your hand here. Is that him again? All right.
Yes, sir.
All right. I can put you on the hot spot again.
So remember, parks and fairgrounds are one now.
Okay.
I mean, actually, one manager, still two different departments, but one manager. And Tamara's doing a wonderful job out there, both in the parks and at the fairgrounds. And Dan will get talk to you about the fairgrounds because that's him, not me.
Okay.
As far as the parks, you know, they're clicking right along. We're always making improvements. There again, there's no general fund money. They run on whatever they produce. With their fees, their camping fees and the day use fees and stuff like that. We just put a new playground in out at, Tom Pierce Park. It's, amazing. You know, I mean, you know, Chuck, when we were kids, we had a rope and a tire.
You know? Yes.
and what these kids have out there is absolutely amazing. So,
I'm going to reply to your Facebook post too.
Which one?
Yes, I did dance at that tune.
Oh, yes, that's right. So anyways, the parks are great. We have some beautiful parks. They are, and we're making some adjustments. We're doing some things, and but they're running on their own nickel. They get a few little grants here and there for improvements for bathrooms and stuff like that and that playground set out there. But other than that, it's not coming out of your property taxes.
All right, they're self-sufficient. Okay. Yep. Well, I'm going to let you rest for a second here and say, can someone tell me about Josephine County Fairgrounds? Oh, Dan, hi.
Yes, I can.
John, we'll get to you. We'll find a way.
Yeah, and that's Chairman's right. It's Tamara Martin is our director out in the fairgrounds, and she's done a fantastic job since she took over about 4 or 5 years ago at, I can't say commercializing, but utilizing every space we have out there and making them ready to rent and make them worthy of charging rent. And she's got those, just about all the buildings and everything taken care of as far as, upcoming rentals and so on and so forth. That's where she gets a lot of her money. The big burr under the saddle out there right now is that Flying Lark is that has some maintenance. You cannot just let that set.
Right, an empty building just sitting there.
We got to keep the heat on. We got to keep the heat on, keep the water in the pipes, and you name it. And, you know, the landscaping up and so on and so forth. And that's something that the fairgrounds, we really are looking at. We hope something happens out there fairly quick because that's just a constant drain on that battery out there. But, no, Tamron's done a fantastic job. They just selected a new, Jen McGowan was the chairman of the fair board out there. And they just had a nomination and approval for Arthur O'Hare, who used to be the finance director in the city of Josephine County. Finance director, and he is now the new chair. He missed a meeting, and when he missed a meeting, he was elected chairman. No, just kidding. That's how that works sometimes. You know, Arthur's very capable of handling it. We've worked with him for a long time. So that's coming up, and they're also working on their master plan. They have that gazebo area that was put in, and when we had a rain, it all of a sudden became a lake, and so they're going to redo that. There's some change orders and correction orders that need to be done. Some of the new construction we had done over this last year, but you'll see the fairgrounds, you know, is in really good shape. But they have that master plan. I think that master plan is something everybody's got on the radar at some point in time. I just about everything's going to be put on hold because of the economy. You know, there isn't grants to be had and so on and so forth. But that's always, you should always still don't lose sight of your dream, because if you do, then, you became dormant. But Tamron does a fantastic job out there.
Well, we understand that there's been no question about the job that Tamron's done out there. But the one caveat about the fairgrounds, and the question is where do we stand right now with deferred maintenance on some of those buildings?
Well, about how far back you've deferred it, you know. Yeah. And when she took over, deferred maintenance had been deferred for a long time.
Yes.
But she's slowly but surely catching up on that out there. She doesn't have a very big crew. There's not a very big crew at all. And then she relies heavily on facilities. And they've worked out a deal where they have so much, they put so much into an account and then bill after that. So it's kind of a sticky situation, but we're trying to work around a little bit where Tamron can get some smaller things done without going through the big long line of paperwork and you know, if you need a switch changed out in the 4-H building, you don't have to put it out for a proposal and all the other stuff. So she's working on that. We got to work that through the system.
All right. General outlook for the fairgrounds. You said don't lose sight of your dream. All right. What's the dream out there?
Well, the dream is their master plan, and if you get an opportunity to see it, it's just a very short presentation, but it puts a new entrance to the fairgrounds through the Ringette property off of Ringette, but there's a lot of people that rent from us over there. In fact, forestry's over there, Parks Department office is over there, the commissary for the schools, there's a school bus yard there, the school's maintenance shop is on that property, and also OSU Extension is on that property. That would all become parking and also the entrance into the fairgrounds and take the entrance from 199 off. So there's an awful lot of things going on out there. And renewal of the buildings and stuff. Travis Borsma and his organization, I can't thank him enough. I don't think he gets enough credit for all he's really done out there. I mean, the removal of the old carpet place and you know, paving of parking lots and the infield, you know, the soccer complex, it's just unbelievable what that man has done out there to the fairgrounds and in the amount of money that he has spent out there. And if you don't think it has an effect, you ought to run out there someday when they're having soccer on the weekends. You can't find a place to park out there. And it's very heavily used. And I want to thank Travis and his whole organization, no matter which one of those, Love Abounds or whoever, you know, he channeled the money through, but he did a fantastic job, and this county is really lucky to have Travis and his organization on board. I want to thank him personally for that.
All right. We'll continue. In the meantime, though, with this important message. Welcome back, everyone. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. County Commissioners are in studio here. Let me see. We've been talking about some of the things that have transpired over the year. We've talked about various departments. We just touched on the Sheriff's Department just a little bit more. Is that you, Dan?
Yep.
The Sheriff's Department?
Yep.
You want to expand on, of course, we just had the levy almost passed. It'll be certified next week.
Yep.
And it's not a, it's a permanent taxing district for the
yep.
sheriff. All right. Now,
yep.
expand on.
Should I ask you the questions?
No, go ahead. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
No, tell me, what does it really mean for the Sheriff's Department? Is it now stable with that passing?
As stable as it's going to get with 99 cents. And you know, I think Herman's touched on it more than once, and he's absolutely right. We're not sure what SRS is ever going to do. That's a you bet your job every year. And, you know, the 99 cents, if it's added to SRS, if SRS does come back, it'll mean more deputies. This is all for operations, all for operations. It has anything to do. The jail is all handled on another levy, all of its own, the 93 cents. But Sheriff wants to keep as many deputies on the road as he possibly can. But we don't have a detective division. There's an awful lot of things that we still don't have in comparison to, say, Jackson County that has a very healthy sheriff's office. Behind the nickel on it.
Will this 99 cents add some of those things back, or will it just maintain the status quo?
I think it'll maintain the status quo. In other words, if SRS comes back again to handle the baseline is what we would call where we are now, then the 99 cents will add a few more deputies. But the way it stands right now, we're not sure, and we can't. The hard part is to go out and hire a bunch of people, train them, because it's very expensive, and then find out that SRS didn't come through or temporary seats didn't come through, and we have to lay them off.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. John West, I want you to just say hi.
Hey, hi.
Because I'm short on time right now, and we'll get to you right after the top of the hour. News, you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. What a little programming note that this Saturday is Kids Day here at KJO Radio. It's an annual event. We hope that you'll tune in Saturday. I think things get underway at 8 o'clock. Bring your checkbook, okay? That's imperative. Once again, a tip of the hat to the Active Club for helping make all that happen. You're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon.
Kids.
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us this morning. And if you have a question or comment for our guest, the county commissioners this morning, the phone number is 541-472-1270. And if you want to have a question or comment for them, by all means, give us a call. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. In the meantime, gentlemen, once again, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio. We've been talking about what's been happening with some of the county departments over the past year. John West has been sitting over here very patiently waiting for an opportunity to step up. John, what departments do you oversee?
Chuck, I oversee emergency management.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to give them kudos for the fire season. They did a wonderful job working with the sheriff on the fire there out of Cave Junction, Northern California there. I just want to say, you know, thank you to those guys. They put a lot of hours in, a lot of time in, and showed why we have an emergency management system. And that's just one of the departments I have. I have community health. The health department there, and you know, they've got a lot going on there with WIC and all the different programs they have, and so I got the DA does a wonderful job. You know, they're like all the other departments, a little shorthanded at times, trying to, you know, keep staffing and all that, and forestry. I have forestry department's just doing a great job. Keeping the seedlings. I was just with the head of the forestry department yesterday, and they're getting ready to get the seedlings planted, and they just do a wonderful job managing the people's forest here. So, you know, there's a lot of other departments that we all three of us oversee as a board together, and you know, whether it's finance, legal, boy, as soon as I'm going to leave somebody out, and I don't mean to do that, but the assessor, the treasurer, recorder's office, it just goes right on down the line, and you know, all of them are important. They all have their they all have their spot. And, you know, I'm coming on my first year here, and I don't hear the complaints of the assessor or recorder or treasurer. I'm not getting the complaints of our departments like that. So that tells me they're doing a wonderful job. And so sometimes I don't think they get enough kudos on that. And so I just, you know, we've got Public Works, facilities is a department that gets overlooked. I think last year they had 7,000 calls from inside the county to work on stuff. And, you know, they're always shorthanded there. And it's just these departments do a lot, and they kind of get overlooked. So I just want to say thanks to each and every one of them and all of those in each department on their service to the people.
All right. Are there any that we've overlooked to this point in our discussion today that we need to look back on or throw some kudos out or bring to the floor? Actually, we have a phone call coming in right now. And we have a little break, so let's say good morning. You're on the air. If you have a question or comment for our guest this morning.
Hello. I just wanted to ask while I have those two on the radio here. So I know ODOT, I don't want to put anybody specifically, you know, I don't want to say it's anybody's fault or anything, but we have some trash piling up along the roadsides and everything, and I know we just changed the laws to where if it's not in the roadside or in the roadway, then it's not going to get picked up. So what's happening along riverbanks and a couple other places, Dan, you know who I am, I'm seeing a lot of trash along the sides of riverbanks. And ODOT, you know, spanning from one side of, you know, Jackson County all the way up to Douglas, I don't think we're going to have, you know, the coverage we need to clean that up. So I'm really, you know, wondering at this point if there's something we can change here countywide to get the trash cleaned up along the roadsides that are, you know, county roads, not just city.
All right. Do I have a response over here?
Yeah, and there are certain ODOT facilities in Josephine County, as you well know, 199, 238. Riverbanks is one of those, from Robertson Bridge to 199 is ODOT facility. And I think it's just a matter of dropping a letter or a phone call over to ODOT's facility there on Agnes.
Yeah, Lucas and Jeremiah, they're great over there, right. Nick. Everybody over there is great. It's just I think they're spread a little too thin because of, you know, how much coverage they're needed. I mean, just like your RSO and everybody else, the community service, it's, you know, I'm just kicking a dead horse at this point, I guess. But, you know, I think we just need a little more volunteerism, like when it comes to cleaning up our county still. I think there's a lack of that. We still have a lot of just random trash building up everywhere, and that's a huge thing compared to if you didn't see that trash, a lot of these other issues would be non-issues.
Yeah. Well, we have our correction crew over there. You know, they do litter pickup and whatnot, but they do it on contract with ODOT. So if there's a hot spot or an area, I drove to Medford and back yesterday, and there's about three spots on Interstate 5. It just seems like there's a big swirl of, you know, paper, and you go around that one corner just south of here, and it's amazing. I think now is the time of year to clean it up. We're going to get an awful lot of people from out of our area, out of our area coming in for the holidays, and to see the junk and the garbage alongside our roads. It acts like we don't really care, and I think we really do. And I, Mark, I think you're right on the thing. Judy Ahrens, I was going to give a shout out to Judy Ahrens because she comes to the weekly business session talking about trash pickup all the time. And you know what? If it's just everybody just picked up a little bit of something, it would definitely help. But you and I'll talk about some areas that you think you need that you're out in the county probably more than I am getting around. But let me know if you have some hot spots, and we'll go to work on it.
So a couple things are going on. Is one is citizens don't seem to care much about just throwing stuff out the car window.
Exactly. Somebody.
So that's part of it. So we have more litter.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit more enforcement on the litter. You see the sign.
That's the other side of the ledger. Is we don't have the money for the enforcement part. So one thing is there are the Adopt a Highway programs where you have citizens that volunteer. Are you part of one of those? Adopt a Highway.
No, I'm not. I'm actually kicked off here. It's so clean. We're going to be having a nonprofit organization here. We're going to be cleaning up everything from trails to landscape to, you know, roadsides and everything else. And this is going to start in January. But for now, I'm trying to just get, you know, anybody else on board that wants to start cleaning up and adding to the solution, not the problem, would be greater.
So, you know, just in my little neck of the woods where I live on my farm, you know, I'm up and down the road all the time irrigating, and I'm constantly picking up trash. And I'll tell you, it does. It infuriates me. I'll get it all cleaned up, and then the next day I go down to one of the fields, and somebody has thrown their whole McDonald's bag out and their straws and all their trash.
Isn't it amazing?
It's amazing. I just, you know, or beer cans or any of that stuff. And,
beer
and I'm
cans.
Just like,
oh, I don't get
come
confident.
On. I don't get it.
I think that's where we're all the same here. We're, you know, like I said, we're kicking the dead horse. You know, I think we're all like-minded. We don't want to see this, you know, our area get turned into that. But that's why we're talking about it. So
what's the old saying? Misery loves company. I know exactly what you're talking about. I wish I had some better answers for you.
Well, I'm going to get on it. I got the nonprofit. It's called So Clean. We're going to get on it here.
All right.
You know, we're going to be doing a lot this time.
You and I need to talk about Joe Clean, okay?
This will happen, Dan. So you guys enjoy your rest of your morning, and thanks for having me.
All right. Well, thank you for your call, sir. And according to that gentleman, it's not a dead horse as long as the people out there are concerned in doing something about it. Are there any legal ramifications to just going out and picking up trash along a state or an ODOT maintained road? Do they have to jump through any hoops or just be mindful?
Just be mindful, but really mindful. Some of the county roads are pretty narrow.
Yes, they are.
And Riverbanks Road in particular is pretty narrow.
And so just be really careful. Personally, what I do is I always face the traffic when I'm picking up along the side. So, I mean, that's just me. I feel safer if I see it coming than if I don't see it coming.
Okay, thank you very much.
Prayer.
Once again, the phone number 541-472-1270 if you have a question or comment for our guest, regardless of anything. Any other divisions that we need to talk about this morning in terms of what has happened in the past year, or should we move ahead, gentlemen? You tell me. All right.
I can't think of any off the top of my head. I mean, I can think of a whole bunch of stuff, but we only got 10 minutes left, so I don't want to start that conversation.
Well, we kind of skipped over Public Works, and Public Works does an awful lot for our
roads.
They
do.
You know, through the summer, they spend a lot of time chip sealing. They get a lot of bang for the buck out there as far as road repair and road maintenance. A lot of people, you know, they say, well, you know, this is a county road, and it has to be brought up to county standards and brought into our inventory with signatures from the Board of County Commissioners and the Public Works Director before we maintained it. So just because your road was put in with the subdivision or the plat or whatever, it needs to be brought into the system before we'll take care of it.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you very much. We're not done yet, but we do have to take a little pause here. We'll be right back.
When you're facing issues with your health, the waiting...
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in Progress, ladies and gentlemen. County commissioners are here, and we're getting down towards the end of the show. We've got about 8 minutes left here. And, gentlemen, I'm just going to throw one out here. Since we've been talking about what has happened in the past year, let's talk about the vision for 2024 that's coming ahead. Can you outline your vision for Josephine County?
Well, I think 2024 is going to be a interesting year with all the elections going on. We're also got, you know, a couple major conflicts at the world that we're throwing a lot of money at. So I don't know what is going to happen when it comes to grant funding and funding for the county, since about 80% of ours is pass-through money that comes mostly from the federal government. Sometimes it comes through the state. First, it goes federal government to the state, and then to us. So I'm a little concerned about that, Chuck. That's just it's a reality. We're in some interesting times, and I think this is going to be one of the most interesting political seasons in the history of the United States. So,
all right, can we narrow that down to Josephine County a little bit more?
It's mostly funding. So when you look at what's going on, and you look at the indicators out there, I would say that the federal government has no they have the only thing they can do is stop spending money. I think our defense budget is going to need more money. So when the defense needs more money, that means there's less money for other programs.
What, can't we just print it?
Not anymore. I think we've approached the tipping point. I don't think printing money, because when we print money, we have to sell bonds. And now the interest rate is high, so the higher interest rates means that the bonds cost more money, which means more interest that we have to pay as citizens on the $38 trillion. Not to mention the other unfunded liabilities of Social Security and Medicare and also some of the federal pensions. So you start looking at all those numbers, the United States has some pretty big liabilities that they have to take care of. So that translates to me as a county commissioner way down on the pecking order. That translates less money for my community. Now, I may be wrong, but I don't know. I was vice chair of revenue finance. That's an area that I've worked in for quite a while now when I was a senator. And that's kind of what my crystal ball is saying. Is it going to be devastating? I don't think it's going to be devastating, but I think commissioners, us three, and whoever's coming next needs to be mindful of that.
And being mindful means preparing in advance with contingencies.
Have a plan. If we see a 10% or a 20% reduction, the three of us have already seen reductions through SRS and ONC, and I think that will continue too. Ledger has two sides. You have the income and you have the expenses. So the revenue side, I think we could see some lower revenues. And then the expense side, because of inflation, cost of doing business is more expensive. So what does that equate to? Well, less services. But like I said, I don't think it's going to be major, but I think that we're going to experience some of that, and we should be mindful and have a plan if we have to have a 10 or 15 or 20% reduction.
Do we have a plan?
I think the three of us are always working on that, and I think that we'll have more of those conversations as we go into our budget season here this spring.
All right. John, what's your vision for 2024 for Josephine County?
Overturn 110. I think that's one of the biggest things that I hear the most of. We've got some ordinance coming in place that we're starting to enact on cleaning up the right-of-ways, and that was conversation from that person on the phone. And so we're going to see some of that start taking place. That's going to be good. But I think all of us are already talking with each department, planning what the chair was talking about there for budget cuts and some things, and trying to get mindful so we're ahead of the game. The state continues to hand down more regulation, more obstacles when it comes to building and planning and all that. And so I think the commissioners are doing everything we can. We're trying to fight back on that and try to give the people the freedom of the land that they paid for, that they're supposed to own, that sometimes they don't feel like they own. So, it's every day you get emails or messages from folks with different issues and problems. And it's most of all being able to listen and then go out and try to fix them the best you can. So every day's a challenge, but it's a good challenge. So.
All right. Are you part of the plan making that Commissioner Bartschinger talked about? What is your plan?
My plan is to work with these two and to get ourselves set up, because when they leave office, I kind of am left with two new guys or two or women, men, whatever they are, to carry the torch and hopefully continue this county in the right direction. Mm-hmm. So You know, I'm still gleaning some wisdom and knowledge from both of them, and I've got another year left before they depart office, and so that's my big goals right now is to learn as much as I can from them. But you know, you got to listen to each department and see what their needs are, and it's not always necessarily, it's kind of like raising kids in a sense. It's not always their wants, because their wants don't always get everything they want. It's you got to make sure they have what they need. So that's where I'm kind of at on it.
All right. Thank you. All right. Dan, what's your vision for 2024?
Well, I think, you know, and I've asked, I don't know how many times, and I get the same answer every time, but I'm not satisfied with that answer. I think a lot of our problems that we have just with litter, and actually, why don't we pass out citations for people that litter? Why don't we stop people for running stop signs and stop lights? And why don't we have a municipal court? If we wrote traffic tickets, if our law enforcement people, both the city of Grants Pass or the Josephine County Sheriff's Office, if they were to write traffic tickets and we send it through the present court system, the fine is 80% of that goes to the state of Oregon and 20% stays with the entity. And if you had a municipal court for traffic, for just traffic infractions, you know, the minor the misdemeanors and stuff that we would see every day, and we stopped them, then if you had a municipal court, it's the other way around. We keep 80, and 20 goes to the state. Because all courts are run through the state except for unless you have a municipal court, or I think a justice court is what they call it in the county side. So I'd like to see that happen. I think that if we had, you know, the troopers seem to do a pretty good job along Interstate 5. When I see a trooper with somebody pulled over and the lights flashing, you don't think I don't look at my speedometer? Because they're out there and they have a presence. And yet I have people blaze by me on 199, one of the most dangerous places in the world. When OSP's out there, they quiet right down. But I think a lot of that stuff can be just headed off by a municipal court and actually put some teeth into our laws. We have all kinds of laws. We just don't enforce them when it comes to traffic and littering and things of that sort. So,
what would it take to institute a justice court or a municipal court for the county?
I've got to look into that because I think at one time we used to have that. And you can't initiate it in the county and force the city to do it. The city is their own entity and their own public safety. So it would be a kind of a joint effort, but I think it needs to start somewhere. And that's expensive. And I said, explain why, and I've never gotten the explanation.
All right, gentlemen, I have about a minute and a half left here. What should people take away from today's show, either future or past for Josephine County?
Well, I think Josephine County will be here and very active next year. We're not going away, but I would like to take this opportunity and wish everybody a very happy holiday season and Merry Christmas. And, you know, I think you concentrate on all the good things that come around this time of year because it seems like we're bombarded with negativity all the time, and this is the season to be bombarded with happiness. And you can find that usually with family and friends.
All right. Gentlemen, anybody want to weigh in? I've got 30 seconds.
Thanksgiving. We just got done with Thanksgiving, and I think we've got a lot more to be thankful for than we have to regret. So I think if you really dig down deep and look at your present situation, even as bad as it is with some of the homeless and whatnot, you're still – there's something to be thankful for.
10 seconds, John.
Put politics aside and be thankful for what we have and spend time with your family.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen, very much. This is KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon, AM 1270.